Welcome to Head Games Radio with one of the better voices in sports, Bob Lee from Outside the Lines. Bob, are you inside or outside the lines today?
Well, today's show at 3:30 Eastern Time, we're going to be a little bit inside with looking at the Bears, and then we're going to start looking at the, you know what happened 26 years ago today, John Lennon was shot, and the nation learned about it from Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football. So that's going to kind of get us a little bit outside the lines. It was a remarkable and tragic evening, and we're going to relive it today.
Let's talk about Howard Cosell for a second, because I want to start off by talking about your role as the announcer, the great storyteller, because to my mind, the storytellers are the ones that help shape the values in life. Howard Cosell was not liked by most of his colleagues. Dick Schaap, who was one of my favorite people and a very close friend, Dick never talked ill of anyone except for one, and that was Howard Cosell. Something about Howard rubbed others the wrong way. At the same time, Howard could cross from sports to other things as well. Tell us what you think Howard Cosell did to add to, if you will, the expanded the broadcaster as something more than just an announcer.
Well, you know, if Howard hadn't been Howard, and if Howard had not done Sports Beat, and in fact, one of our guests, Dave Kindred, who the author of the book Sound and Fury, which is the story of the friendship and the relationship between Muhammad Ali and Howard Cosell, reported the Ali story, for all of Cosell's bombast and his histrionics and his well-advertised insecurities on the air and whatnot, Howard Cosell did important journalistic work. And if he hadn't been doing that back in the 60s and the 70s into the 80s, I don't think we really would know where it is today. I mean, he's the godfather of this. Yes, he was difficult to get along with at times. He was full of himself, but at the same time, great journalism being done in print, but not a hell of a lot being done well on television. And Howard set the standard in sports journalism in a broadcast sense.
Bob Lee, if there's thing that's missing, I think, from today's kids coming through high school, it's a lack of appreciation for the importance of history. We've seen it, of course, in the lack of appreciation for history and some of the decisions by the present administration. And I won't get too political, but let's just say that understanding the lessons of history is always a daily thing. We talked to Chris Berman about the of history of the sports broadcaster's role and how things have changed because of ESPN. Here's Chris Berman from just about 6 weeks ago.
You didn't get your hometown paper. There was no even national paper like USA Today. You didn't get your you know, cable was what was it back then? You know, you got local stations from where you were traveling to, and that was it. ESPN and then CNN a little behind us, and MTV, I mean, in early 80s, all of a sudden you're in you're in Bangor, Maine, you can turn on a TV and get the same things. And so we became your, that's a good description, a teddy bear, although, you know, I'm a more like a polar bear. But
so if he's a polar bear, what are you now in your role at Outside the Lines?
Is that a variation on the Barbara Walters question, if you could be a tree or if you could be a
tree? What would you
be? If I could be a twee. I think Chris hit on it in that this network has been, I think a lot of networks and media entities have viewers and listeners and readers, but very few have fans. And this network, I think, has been unique in that regard for 27-28 years. We've got people who feel a great empathy towards us. At the same time, with that comes an incredible responsibility to be accurate, to be fair, to have fun, certainly, but to do the important stories and to do them responsibly and to ask the right questions. I mean, if, for example, not just report what's going on, for example, at this very hour, Rich Rodriguez, the West Virginia football coach, may be getting recountered by West Virginia that just signed.
What is going on?
An extension back in June, well, with a $12 million offer on the table from Alabama. And if I pay taxes in either state, and I guess at the end of the day, maybe they're not tax dollars, they're booster dollars. What the heck is going on with that? And having just told his kids reportedly just a few weeks ago that he wasn't going anywhere, I mean, those are the things you've got to bring out. Just ask, you know, is that fair? What does that mean to the greater situation? So that you just don't report that, you know, there's a tug of war going on for a coach, but what's going on? What does that mean? What does that say about all of us? And Miles Brandon, the head of the NCAA, has been outspoken about this. Just this past week, he tapped coaches' salaries as the thing to watch. And, you know, at the same time, you look for progress, you find it today in Miami, where Randy Shannon, linebacker of U of M and the former defensive coordinator, now gets promoted from within and is only the sixth African-American head coach out of 109 Division 1A schools. And afterwards, he says, you know, I'm Randy Shannon. I'm not Minority Randy Shannon. When I go to the league meetings, I'm Coach Shannon. I'm not Minority Randy. And that's how he wants to be known. But sports has given us, you know, gives us many vexing questions, but at the same time, you think back as far as Jackie Robinson and Cosell and Ali, it gives us a chance, I think, to define society, too.
Well, we're talking with Bob Outside the Lines, inside Head Games Radio, and it's just interesting how Miles Brands would say that the key thing to watch is the salaries of coaches. I want to wait to hear him say clearly it's the educational experience of the NCAA athlete that really matters.
Well, yeah, I think he has said some of that in the past. In fact, they've changed the yardstick by which they measure graduation rate. It's now an academic progress report, and it makes allowances for and kids who leave early to go to the pros. I mean, as long as someone's making academic progress, and those numbers have trended up. In fact, Richard Labczyk, the noted sports sociologist, issued a report last week on all the bowl-bound football schools, and it shows a fairly good improvement by this yardstick, if you accept the yardstick. It also shows a racial gap between African-American football players and white football players as far as academic progress. But there seems to be something happening here. Of course, each institution has to defend itself. We've seen enough abuses in this area, and ask, is this a legitimate academic and educational experience the kids are being exposed to, or are they just getting the easy majors and good courses? Well, I don't know about you at Dartmouth. You took all real tough ones. But, I mean, occasionally you'd be looking
not all of them
here and there. But is the experience legitimate? But I think we've seen some I know that Brand feels passionately about a distinction between college and pro sports. He and I have talked at long lengths about it, and he's very passionate about it.
One last about our friend Howard Cosell with the interview we had with Tony Kornheiser, his new role, and in essence, to me, having a chance to redefine Howard Cosell's role, which has been so poorly played out the last few years. When you know you're always going to be compared against a guy named Howard Cosell, you know, my first game was for the Patriots at 78 Sunday night primetime with Frank Gifford, Dandy Don Meredith, and Howard Cosell.
Right.
Do you feel that there is something to be learned from the role he took in that situation with the other two personalities?
Well, I'm never going to be as good. I'm never going to do it as long as he did it. I'm never going to be as good as him. I'm not as smart as him. I would never be as bombastic as him. I mean, I'm just not. You know, anytime people compare me even unfavorably to Cosell, I'm sort of pleased because I think he's the best. Whoever did it, but you know, you have to have magic in a booth. I think that people who watch PTI understand that Wilbon and I have that.
Final comments on the role. What's missing? Where can we find another Howard Cosell who's not just a jerk as well, but somebody that is able to bring the sense of history and importance decisions that are played out on the sports stage?
Well, I think Howard was an original, so I don't know that you'll ever see a replication of him. And I think Tony is, you just saw how smart Tony is by realizing there has only been one Cosell, and Tony is doing a very nice job in his own right. But, you know, Cosell wrote and spoke and reported at a very different time, Nick, too, when you only basically had three networks and three choices at home, which gets back to what Chris was talking about cable television. I mean, your show and the of media choices just illustrate the great democracy that we've seen, the digital democracy in media. I mean, if you have a thousand opinions, a thousand at the same time, I think it means that no one single voice will ever have that same sense of prominence. But I think a lot of the responsibility comes down to the audience. People out there. I don't subscribe to the Barnum theory that, you know, you can never go broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public. I think we got some smart people, and as consumers, ask the right questions. Is this guy answering my questions, asking my questions? Is he raising the right issues? If consumers make those points, you'll get the reporting you deserve at home.
Bob, can you stay for a few more minutes, just till maybe 30 past, and talk about U Sports for a second?
Sure.
That'd be great. Really appreciate it. Bob Lee from Outside the Lines, going to stay inside the lines at Head Games just for a few more minutes, and we'll be joined by Fred Eng for the National Alliance for U Sports and Dr. Andrew Jacobs. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius XM.